November, the Grey Cup touches down in the heartland, and it's our time to bring it.
The ball is intercepted by Nick Marshall. Can't save for Baker. Touchdown.
Take the shotgun snap. Going down deep by his bench for Sam. He got it!
Tonight, after a tough loss in Montreal last week, the Riders have a chance at redemption in their house. It's the Riders in Alouettes on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on Rider Radio, 620 CKRM.
And good afternoon, Rider Nation, and welcome to the McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth, and thanks for making us part of your game day. Last Thursday, a tired and banged up Riders team got spanked by Montreal. And to a man this week, the Riders say with a full week of preparation, they'll be much better. Indeed, all the excuses are out the window today as your Rough Riders try to exact some revenge on the Montreal Alouettes here at Mosaic Stadium. Each Rider Nation pregame begins with Glenn Suter and press coverage, and it's brought to you by North Home Windows, designing, building, and installing window systems in Saskatchewan for Saskatchewan conditions. Google North Home Windows or call 1-866-362-6525. Always great to talk to you in person, Glenn Suter, and this one should be an interesting contest today. We'll learn more about both of these teams after this game. I mean, credit Montreal. They needed to win that game last week. They were rested. I don't think it was a fair assessment of the Riders. I'll assess them after this game.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, consider the first couple of games for the Riders and the two wins and you know, calculate that into your to your evaluation. So yeah, I mean, I will add, and I know this won't make you happy, but I will add that the BC Lions went on a short week into Ottawa and won that one. They didn't have the two back-to-back away games, so it is possible to win on that short week.
Sure it is.
But you're right. I mean, this is not that last week was not indicative of what this Rider team is. I mean, what was it? 8 sacks allowed.
Yeah.
You know, there it was a combination of a short week, that back-to-back road games, and you go in and these, you know, we're not giving excuses to the team, but you go into that game in Montreal again. That's a difficult city at the best of times to play in and maintain your discipline.
Yeah.
Not, you know, stay up a little bit too late at dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting the team did that, but, you know, they go out there and Chandler Worthy takes the opening kickoff back. They're down 7-0. In fact, they were down 10-0 before Cody got the ball.
Yeah. That's right. It's 100% right. He had two plays. They're down 10-0.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that has become indicative of this team are those penalties, because we could say, oh, it's a couple of weeks, but it goes back to the end of last season, too.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is troubling. I'll be interested to see if they play a clean game. That's what Coach wants to see. Said he wants to see a clean football game.
Here's what I like about what I heard this week. Guys like Shaq Evans, who said, you know, we're grown men.
Yep.
I mean, this is not on the coach. I mean, I'm glad that that's coming out of the locker room, that we're starting to hear some of the leaders step in there and say, you know, guys, we got to stop thinking that the coach is going to somehow scare this out of us. It's up to you. Do you care about your teammate or not?
Mm.
Because if you're taking penalties, especially after the whistle, which are always controllable, you are not caring about your teammate.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. And if it's put in that framework, that context, then I think it hits home for these guys. I mean, they've been team players their whole lives. That's why they're at the pro level. So I really was glad this week to hear, you know, there are going to still be penalties. There will be penalties. Everybody gets them. But it's the ones that they control. After the whistle, tackling from a, you know, tackling a defensive end from the tackle position. Hey, Cody might be able to escape. If you miss your guy or you don't get good position on your guy, maybe the returner makes a miss anyway. Don't grab him. Don't tackle him. don't cost your team? That's the question. And do they care about their teammate or not, the guy beside them in the locker room or not? That's what we'll find out.
Suits, it only matters at the end of the game that you have the most points, right? It does. But when you look at this stat, Riders have scored 69 points this year. However, they have scored more points in the first quarter, 39, than the other three quarters combined at 30. So that would indicate they're a bit of a slow starting team. Should we be concerned by that if you're a Riders supporter?
No, I don't think so. It's a little early to be concerned over like long-time trends. If it's Labor Day and they're slow starters up to Labor Day, then it is a trend, and then you got to figure out why. But I think in the first few games of the year, you're just trying to kind of find your way. I actually talked to Cody Fajardo about scripting plays off the top, and they don't really do that. He said that, you know, it depends. Sometimes you study all week, and then in the first series, the defense will look different than you studied because they'll change it up. And so you have to be ready to adapt on the fly. But they have their favorite plays that they like. They have their situational plays between he and Jason Moss. And they work together on, hey, second and long, what do we like? You know, first and 10, what do we like? Those kind of things. You know, if it was scripted and they were slow starters, change the script.
Hey, let me ask you as a defensive back. When you look at the Riders' receiving core, do they have enough speed? Picton's in there. He's a pro's pro. He can run good routes. Prawl, just finding his feet in this game. Quick little guy. I don't know how fast he is. McInnes, Williams isn't a fast guy, but you'll get the jump balls. And Schaefer Baker somewhere in between. Do they have enough speed to scare a secondary?
Yeah, I do. And I think this is an area where, because I think Schaefer Baker can get up top. I think he can blow the top off the defense. I think if you sleep on Duke Williams, he'll get behind you. He will.
Yep.
I mean, aside from winning jump balls.
Yeah.
McInnes has enough speed for sure. And then, you know, if you're route running on the backside of those routes, that's okay too.
Yep.
So I think they're good and they're well-rounded. And this may be an area tonight where they can exploit the inexperience of the Montreal secondary. Wesley Sutton started at corner, is now a halfback. He's only got a couple years of experience. Randall started at halfback. He's now a corner. Najee Murray is playing his first game, his first start of the season.
Yeah.
That's at the other halfback. And DeQuaz has been the only sort of consistent member of that secondary. So with all of those changes and how important the secondary is to play together, that may be a, you know, combination routes, and maybe you get a couple of guys in behind that maybe have average speed, but they do it because they scheme them. So, you know, I think that's an area that Saskatchewan could really attack and maybe take advantage of. I mean, they're all good players, don't get me wrong, but they've mixed around in positions, and they're not all that experienced back there. Plus two new linebackers again.
Yeah. So the BC Lions went on the road in a short week, as Glenn alluded to, and came up with a 34-31 win over the Ottawa Red Blacks to improve to a surprising, I would say, 3-0. Nathan Rourke once again had a 50-yard touchdown around left end. He was with us in the sports cage this week. This is what he had to say about all the attention.
I think that there's a lot of noise, and there seems to be a lot of noise, around this team as well, and that, you know, that's going to be there as long as we keep doing positive things and we keep doing things that are going to give people something to talk about.
Yeah, so Nathan Rourke, 359 yards passing. He had two touchdown passes. He had a fumble. He had two interceptions. He ran for a touchdown. I love the fact that the kid, like he did here week one last year, showed some moxie to fight his way back. It was a roller coaster, as you like to see, as you see in games, and he rode the wave.
Good defense he played against.
Yep.
A well-coached defense by Mike Benavides. Fresh, because they had the bye coming out, and they had lots of time to prepare and game plan. And as you mentioned, on the road. This is what that was, maybe to me the best game for Nathan Rourke.
Yep.
His others, he scored over 50, and it looked pretty easy for him. He was just up and down the field. I think he only had two and outs in those two games total. And then he faced adversity. Faced adversity in Ottawa. I threw a pick six. You know who made the tackle on the it wasn't a pick six. You know who made the tackle on the second pick? He did. Because it was a pick six. That was a quick out that was picked off, I think, by Money Hunter.
Yeah.
And Money Hunter had nothing but daylight.
Going home.
And Nathan Rourke got on his horse, caught him, and made the tackle. I guarantee you they're going to sit in the film room and forget about the yards throwing and the 71-yard touchdown he threw right after that. They're gonna, his teammates are going to look at him and say, yeah, man, yeah, that's what we want to see. The play was never over, and he caught him before he scored. He caught Monty Hunter.
So Trey Ford yesterday, the Canadian groomed quarterback all the way through, had a Nealon Green kind of game. He had 191 yards passing, a touchdown, an interception, but they won the football game.
Yeah, some great plays on defense. A couple of really good games to watch this weekend already. This is going to be another one tonight, but yeah, Edmonton desperately needed that win, obviously, in the West Division. Ottawa still okay because of what's happening in the East right now.
Yeah.
And I was happy for Trey Ford in that he didn't blow the doors off like Nathan Rourke did.
Yeah.
In his first two games.
Yes.
But he gave him a spark. The stage wasn't too big for him.
He's fast. He's an athlete.
Really fast and athletic. And we have seen so many, like you mentioned, Nealon Green. We have seen so many guys like that that have got start after start to find their way in the game. And man, if we can go the entire season with two Canadian quarterbacks, one going through U Sports, yeah, I just think it is ideal for our game and our country. And every little kid that plays that position in our country is now looking at those two guys thinking, why not me?
Yeah, good point. And hey, when you join us in the Sports Cage this week, we'll go more in depth with Dane Evans because I hope he can get it turned around. Thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Good job.
He'll be over on the TSN side, and we thank him for joining us. Press coverage to start every pregame show brought to you by North Home Windows. Also, this portion of the pregame brought to you by Sask Milk, the wireless aid, your SaskTel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneer, Salford Group, Cooperator, see Aaron at Aaron & Associates Insurance in Regina, Wood River Controls, Young's Equipment, and Indian Head Chrysler. The coach is on deck next. It's the Craig Dickinson Show. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Michael Ball, is breaking down today's matchups with coaches, guests, and all the info you need to know. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation Pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Each week we have Craig Dickinson join us in the Sports Cage, and he also is part of our pregame show here, the Rider Nation pregame show. It's brought to you by Saloon Tires, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Saloon Tire has you covered like a championship-winning defense. League-leading value and performance you can count on. And here is Craig Dickinson, or a snippet of it, from our Sports Cage show on 620 CKRM on Mondays. We got to clean up some penalties, man. I had Shaq on earlier, and Shaq said, his exact quote was, we're grown-ass men. We got to figure this out ourselves. It's past the coaches. What are you thinking when you hear that, and what are you thinking when you preached it, and they still went out and took some penalties?
Yeah, well, I agree with them on the first comment. They are grown-ups. There's no question about it. You see them walk in, you know they're grown-ass men. But we got to continue to stay on it. It's not one of those things where you want to ease up at all. So we've got a couple of strategies that we're employing to try to cut down on the penalties. We've asked the players to take some ownership and some accountability for getting it fixed. And we've got to just clean up some technique stuff as well. A couple of those penalties are just bad technique and just poor decision making when you're out of position. So I feel like we're making strides. I really do. There's a lot of things we got to clean up. Penalties are one of them.
So is that a case of a combination in some respects, not making excuses, but guys trying too hard or guys being fatigued? Because when you're tired on a short week, you make mistakes you wouldn't normally make, and then you try too hard and overcompensate and take penalties.
I think both, Ballsy. I really do. I think we pressed. I think we tried to do maybe more than we needed to. That's one of the messages we shared with the team is do your job and trust the guy next to you is going to do his as well. And I do think we got a little tired. Montreal stayed on the field, put some drives together, and I think our D-line got tired and really wanted to sack him or get off the ball and create a sack. And didn't do a good job keying the football and playing their keys. You know, I told them it's a compliment to you guys. The teams are going to hard count you. Teams are going to chip you. Teams are going to do things to try to slow you down on the defensive line. Now we've just got to be disciplined and make sure that we elevate our game because teams are trying to slow our D line down. I think we've got a good defensive front and other teams know that and they're doing things to try to counteract that.
Is there a point when the rubber has to hit the road or there has to be an example set with some accountability, sort of like an action speaks speaks louder than words scenario for a coach. At some point, you just, if you see repetitive actions by a player, do you sit him?
Yeah, well, that's the, obviously, Don, that's the extreme action. If you have to do it, you have to do it. We will do that if that's the only way we think we can get the message across. The one thing is, you know, you look at some of the usual suspects, you know, Garrett Marino from a year ago always had trouble, and he's been much better. He did get one against Edmonton late, but on a whole, he's doing a lot mm-hmm. better. Natai Rogers, who's a constant penalty guy this year, he's new for us this year, so we're still trying to get through to him. And there's a few other guys that got him as well. I think if you get you know, a usual suspect where he constantly is getting penalties and it's the same guy week after week, then I think you do sit him. But if it's everybody just getting one here, one there, and it adds up, I think you got to try other things to try to get through to him, because it's not just one guy. But the reality is, you know, we fine them. We have a little collection jar we try to pass around where we try to increase accountability to your teammates. We point it out on film. But you're right. At the end of the day, if a guy continually makes penalties, we got to sit him, or we got to cut him, because it's hurting the team, and it gets to the point where you got to move on.
Let's go to another text there, Abby.
All right, I'm going to read this as is. It's from Eli, I think the name is. Craig, do you think the O-line can protect Cody as well as the Blue Bombers O-line protects Zach Collaros? Because that's what he needs. He just has no time to operate. Maybe sure. We need a fullback all the time in the backfield like the Zarka days.
Well, I do think our O-line can protect, and I do think we'll be just fine. The one problem about putting a fullback back there is you add another defender. You know, as soon as you bring another player into the box, the defense matches that. So it's still a man-for-man thing. We struggled, there's no question about it, against Montreal. I think that's a really good defensive line. Maybe that defensive front seven, I think, is as good as ours, or at least close. I mean, I think we've got, if not the best, one of the better defense in the league, but you've got to say Montreal's right there with us. I mean, they had 8 sacks in the game. So do I believe our O-line can protect as well as Winnipeg's? That has yet to be seen. I think Winnipeg, the last 3 years, has been the class of the league in terms of their offensive line, and I think that's why they've won 2 straight Grey Cups. So our goal is to be as good as they are, maybe even better at the end of the day, but we're not there yet, but we're going to keep working hard to try to get there.
Evaluate your tackles for me, Coach. I want your thoughts on your tackles, because I have a couple of thoughts, but I want your thoughts.
Just okay right now. I think still learning. You know, Vonner's coming off a shoulder injury, Taron Vaughn, and is still figuring it out. I think he's got a chance to be one of the better tackles in the league, but he's got to play more, mm-hmm. and he's got to improve. You know, he still looks like he's coming off a shoulder, and he's still learning, but I think he's getting better. Natai Rogers got to clean up some technique and some footwork stuff, but he plays with a serious edge, and he brings a little bit of nastiness to that group, which I like. We got to get him to cut down on penalties and play a little more within the system. Right now, I think our tackles are middle of the road.
Yeah.
I think they probably agree with that. And we're hoping by the end of the year they're elite and they're at the top of the league. There's going to be some growing pains along the way, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, so I would say Vaughn looks like he hasn't played in 3 years, if you factor in the COVID. It looks like he's still banging off the ring rust, getting back, like you said. And yep. and Rogers, to me, is just... I said on the broadcast, I don't know if he's where the coaches thought he'd be at this point. Would I be fair with that statement? Like, did you think he'd be further ahead than he is now, or is he kind of where you thought he'd be?
He's kind of where we thought. You know, that's a guy who hadn't played a lot of football either. You know, he was injured last year in Ottawa. Mm. Before that, he was a couple other places. He's still a fairly young guy, and he's learning the technique. He's super aggressive, which you like in a lot of ways, because he really gets off the ball. But in other ways, it does lead to being on your toes a little bit, getting your head involved in contact, and getting into a poor posture when you're trying to block a guy. So
That's the Craig Dickinson Show for Saloon Tire here on the Rider Nation pregame show. This portion brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, Asstel, and Right Way Manufacturing. We'll be back with more of the pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
McDougal Auctioneers broadcast booth, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. Michael Ball soon to be joined by Luke Molliner, but it's time to check in with the opposition, and we'll talk with Montreal Gazette veteran sports writer Herb Zurkowski. All right, here with Herb Zurkowski from the Montreal Gazette, a very esteemed sports writer. Hey, just had a birthday. Congratulations. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
Sports is one thing, health's another thing. How's your health? Everything going okay? Saw you looking pretty good when I saw you last week in Montreal.
I'm at my playing weight. I'm ready. Anytime a CFL team wants to reach out and get a good defensive player who will kill the quarterback, and I'm a non-import.
Well, we could have used you on Rider special teams, especially to start the game last week. Chandler Worthy looked like Gizmo Williams. What'd you make of that performance?
Well, that's certainly the best way to start a game, isn't it? It's something when you're the quarterback like Trevor Harris and you're staked to a 7-0 lead before you even take your first snap. And it just seemed to set the tone for the game. The Riders were on the back foot all game, and it certainly is an impact play. I mean, it's an impact play at any time in the game, but when it's the opening kickoff, I dare say that it really is even more electrifying.
I've talked about this before, Herb. That's something we need to promote more in the CFL. The NFL American game is getting away from the kicking game. A lot of touchbacks, fair catches. We still have that element. I think that needs to be highlighted more.
Oh no, it's exciting. It really is. It just changes the whole dimension of the game. It really seems to give the team that scores the touchdown a tremendous lift. And I mean, my God, you're 10-15 seconds into the game and you're down 7-0 on the road. I mean, how demoralizing can a play? The impact of a play have than that one.
Speaking of demoralizing, we watched the terrible end of our movie in Edmonton when Dan Clark goes down with a broken fibula and shifted ankle. Then the Alouette Center goes down in garbage time last week. They look like they have a capable replacement, though, in David Brown, who did sub in for your starting center before.
Yeah, no, he's played there, and let's not forget that he was a Calgary draft choice, so he's played a little bit, limited amount of games, but with a legitimate team, a legitimate organization in Calgary. And the thing, look, I'm not saying he won't have any hiccups, but what impresses me the most about David Brown is that the school that he came from, the University of Western Ontario. And to me, if a guy comes from Western or he comes from the University of Calgary, that's a legit guy.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of this matchup. Like, let's go back to last Thursday. Riders had just played a physical game in Edmonton, lost their center, had to travel across country. But yet Montreal was 0-2, but could have been 2-0. I think we're going to learn a lot about these teams after Saturday. I'm reserving judgment till after the game on Saturday. How about you, Herb?
Oh no, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And despite the euphoria that was here in Montreal after that game, I was very quick to point out in my story in the Montreal Gazette that just what you said. The Riders had played 5 days earlier, back-to-back road games. You travel across the country. They only had one full practice. Let's not suggest by any means that the Grey Cup parade is going to go through Montreal. they're going to face a team that has a score to settle, a team that's well rested, and I do expect a different Saskatchewan team. But it's really tough to get a sense of the Alouettes. Are they good? Are they? I really don't know yet. like you said, they easily could be 3-0 now. They lost a couple of close games, but you still lost. They squandered a 10-point halftime lead in Calgary, mm-hmm. which no team should do. And I don't care where you're playing. And of course, in Toronto, David Cote misses the 21-yard field goal at the end. Now, having said that, it is easy to point your finger at Cote. If Boris Beattie doesn't miss two field goals himself in the second half, the Alouettes require a touchdown to win. So, you know, they're close, but certainly there's a lot of work left to do.
That's Herb Zurkowski from the Montreal Gazette. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Spreads.ca, Degelman Industries, and the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency. When we come back, we'll hear from Riders receiver Mitch Pickton and get to your injuries and scratches. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride Worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620ckrm.com.
Time now for our injury report. Focused on injury prevention, the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association provides affordable safety training to the construction industry. The two big injuries of note coming into today's game, Nelson Lacombo's out with a hamstring injury, so he's replaced by Jeremy Clark, the field side corner. Amari Henderson moves into the halfback spot where Clark was. Damon Webb released a couple of days ago, wanted playing time. They felt Henderson brought more to the table, wouldn't stay on the practice roster, Webb that is, so he was released. The other big injury, Shaq Evans, hurt in the last game in Montreal last Thursday. Fractured ankle, of course, he's out 6 weeks, hoping to be back, or he's on the six-game injured list, hoping to be back for the Labor Day game. Now, the receiving core, you got to have a guy that knows all the positions. The Riders do. He's Mitch Pickton. Leboldus Golden Sun, Regina Ram. He's excited to make his second start on Canada Day.
Oh, it's good. Canada Day is always an exciting weekend, and to be playing at home and in front of our fans, it'll be packed house tomorrow, so yeah, it'll be fun.
Coach was very complimentary of you, saying that you've done more for them than they've done for you. Just your thoughts on the progression of Mitch Pickton with this team.
Yeah, things haven't really changed. I just try to understand the offense as best as I can. When I'm put out there, I try to do my job and make the plays when they come my way.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know all five positions. That's your attribute. Just talk about being a student of the game.
Yeah, I really try to dive into the playbook and understand it and the reason why we're doing things. But, I think it just puts me in a position that when we do have guys go down that I can kind of move around and help fill holes when we need that to be done.
You must be getting used to having to go into a position you didn't really practice with during the week.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get too comfortable. They keep me on my toes, but it's all good. I'll keep doing what I'm doing and just keep trying to make plays when they come my way.
What's it mean to just get these opportunities wherever they might come for you at any position early on the offense?
Yeah, it's a unique situation, but I'm happy to do it. It's a job that that I've kind of sunk into, and I enjoy it. So,
obviously, our Rider fans travel well, but how special is it? You're getting your second start of the year. This one's at home. You know, you got friends and family behind you.
Yeah, it's always cool when we get to play at home. Our fans are incredible, and personally, I have a pretty good team of support. So it'll be fun having them all in the building tomorrow night.
Mitch Pickton of the Rams, we're number 80, or the Rams, now the Riders, we're number 81, playing that X receiver spot. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Bayer Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, AgCo, Access Communications, and Bronc Beer. When we come back, we welcome Luke Molitor into the broadcast booth. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio.
On Instagram. The anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Co-operators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio. The Source, 620 CKRM.
And welcome to Mosaic Stadium, where we're set for the second half of this home-and-home Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. Riders got spanked last week in Montreal. The Owls' first win of the season in their home opener to the Riders' first loss. So the green and white hoping to exact some revenge on a full week of preparation. Time now to take a look at our quarterback comparisons brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. And with the segment, we welcome in our great color commentator, Luke Molliner. And let us start with Trevor Harris. Luke, as we look at the quarterbacks, he improved his record to 6-3 as a quarterback against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. 262 yards passing and a touchdown in that game, staking his claim to the starting position with the Owls.
I thought he played really poised against the Saskatchewan Roughriders last week. It felt like he wasn't worried about the Saskatchewan Roughriders defensive scheme, and sometimes you do see that when it comes to quarterbacks that play the Riders, because they know how aggressive the Rough Riders can be. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily through scheme, simply just up front. Like, they have a phenomenal front seven. They use them really well. But Trevor Harris felt like he was moving in the pocket. He understood where his spaces and gaps were going to be to make a good throw of the football, and I felt like that's the difference. And the other thing about this is, Ballsy, is he's only had one turnover thus far.
Yeah.
Right? And if you protect the football, anything's possible against this Rough Rider defense, because they predicate themselves on winning that turnover battle through defense.
And he hit a deep touchdown pass in the second half to Kayon Julian. Grand pass, Nelson Lacombe, who won't play today. Jeremy Clark is in his place. Now, on the other side, Cody Fajardo came in passing, completing 72.4% of his passes. He was near the top on all the passing charts through the first couple of weeks, but then he ran into a buzzsaw called the Montreal Alouettes defense. 8 quarterback sacks, a new center, and of course he had that knee issue, which he still has, wearing the brace. Here's what Cody had to say about the knee.
Yeah, you know, just because it was a walkthrough, but I'll have it on tomorrow, and I hope this is my last week that I got to wear the brace. I feel much better than I did last week, and that was one of the things that was really frustrating on film. I felt like I wasn't myself in terms of my explosiveness. There's a few times where I got out of the pocket and I just didn't get the edge or didn't make a guy miss a tackle, something that I've been so used to doing, and having that explosion. I felt like my speed was kind of there, but the explosiveness isn't there when your knee's a little wonky. So I feel much better than I did last week. I'm quite not 100%, but hopefully after this week I'll be back to 100.
The fact you're throwing, the velocity, because your power comes from your legs.
Yeah, definitely. And you push off your right leg, but a lot of it is your left leg holds your momentum going forward. So if you don't have that confidence that your left leg's going to carry you through your throw, sometimes you spray a little footballs. And I felt like there was a few throws that I missed, but it wasn't a knee-based thing. It was just more me, of my footwork was off, and a lot of that goes to just psychologically having confidence in your legs over and over and over again. And I felt I had a much better week this week of being more accurate and back to myself with my knee on progressing towards being back to 100%.
It's Cody dealing with a knee issue, the left knee. Just your thoughts on that. Do you believe that affects the quarterback's play? It has to. He gets his power from his legs when he throws the football. I mean, come on, you got a plant on that leg, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with the schematics of making a throw and how important your body is when you make that throw. Mm-hmm. I just would prefer not to hear it as an excuse. Mm. That's the one thing I'm starting to feel like is creeping in here with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, is there always seems to be an excuse as to why something didn't happen the way it happened. And listen, this team is 2-1.
Yep.
So it's no time to panic.
Right.
But I would like to start seeing a more focused approach that focuses, like Duke Williams, for instance, on accountability, on I'm going to do better. That's especially, you know, from a quarterback position, hearing I'm just going to go out there and do better goes a lot farther than, yeah, you know, it's just, man, my leg, I got a plan, I got to do this, we got to do that, and it felt great this week, right? Like, you know, it's always something to where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's a reason it didn't happen. No. It's time to win a game.
Yeah, good point.
We just need this football team to string some wins together, and it's a big opportunity here at home.
This segment of the pregame show brought to you by Seedmaster CAA Insurance. special blend by Weiser's and First Nations University. When we come back, we'll have the weather conditions, which look pretty good right now. This is the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage with Michael Ball on The Source 620 CKRM.
Beautiful right now, 21 degrees outside with an east-southeast wind at 15 kilometers an hour. Tonight, though, as the game will be played mostly at night, a slight chance of showers, southeast wind at 20, becoming light overnight, and a low of 12. So all things considered, we got the rain out of the day earlier, and it's shaping up for a great football game. Weather-wise, our weather brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. We'll be back with Luke Mulliner's three keys to the game. This portion of the pregame show brought to you by SaskTel and Nick Service. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
The voice of Canada's team, worldwide. Listen online anywhere on the official Rider app or 620CKRM.com.
Welcome back inside the McDougall Auctioneers broadcast booth. They've got the biggest Canadian flag in the world from the five-yard line to the other five-yard line about to be unfurled. Time now for the three keys to the game from our color commentator, Luke Mulliner, brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid. Fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Okay, Luke, let's get to your three keys. Key number one, what do you got, my friend?
Yeah, this is the I can't believe I'm still saying this three keys to the game here this week. Key number one, discipline. You know, say what you will a bit about Chris Jones, Nick Saban, and those guys, the winning coaches in football. They don't have these issues that plague them for years and years at a time. It's time for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to hold guys accountable. And if you're out there hurting the team, you're not out there. Because they got to cut some of these things out right away.
Well, they talked about character all this week. So discipline would be part of character. Yep. So would trust be part of character.
Yeah, trust is a big thing. And not what you guys think. You know, I've been really thinking about some of the plays we've seen. Specifically the questionable play calling, specifically on first down with Jason Moss. And I really believe there's a little bit of a trust thing going on here between him and Cody. I'm not about to start questioning Jason Moss's ability as an offensive coordinator. The quarterbacks that he's put to the top of this league and the numbers that he's gotten as an OC speak for themselves. I feel like something's separating him and Cody from making the next step, and trust might be part of it. And I hope each one of those guys trusts each other starting today, right? Jason's got to trust Cody to be able to make all the throws on the field, but Cody's got to earn the trust that he's going to sit in the pocket and he's going to make those throws and go through those progressions.
When you talk character, another big element is accountability, the third key to Luke Mulliner's three keys to the game.
Yeah, again, it's part of kicking this, you know, no more of this media darling stuff, right? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, some of the things that, you know, is said during the week, I feel like they're really catering, and I get it, right? They're catering to their fan base, the community.
Yeah.
You're saying all the right things in the media. You're being a real community champion. Here's the problem. If you want to be a great cup champion, it's time to be accountable. It's time to look at yourself in the mirror, like you've been saying, Ballsy. It's time to examine your character. Mm. Do you want to be a great cup champion, or do you want to be a media darling?
Yeah.
It's two very different things, and today we need to start seeing the approach to being a Grey Cup champion. It's the first third of the year. These are all sort of challenges that they can get over right away to make that second third of the year all about focus and consistency.
Luke's three keys to the game in this segment brought to you by Athol Murray College of Notre Dame, Sulphur Group, and Golden West Trailers and Equipment. We'll be back with our starting lineups in a moment. You're listening to the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
Stand up, get loud, bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Time now for the starting lineups. Get the job done for early weed management in lentils or canola with an application of Edge Microactive from Gowan, Canada. It pays to fall apply. Here's how the Riders will line up offensively.
Cody Fajardo, quarterback, University of Nevada. Go Pack. Jamal Moore, running back, Washington State University, home of George Reed.
James Tuck, fullback, Cardinal Carter Catholic High School.
Mitchell Picton, University of Regina, receiver U.
Keenan Schaefer Baker, wide receiver, Ball So Hard University.
Duke Williams, wide receiver, Auburn University.
Justin McInnes, wide receiver, Arkansas State University.
Jacob Paul, wide receiver, Brown University.
Taryn Vaughn, left tackle, Ozan High School.
Logan Ferlin, offensive line, Melford Commons.
Logan Bandy, O-line, University of Calgary.
Evan Johnson, offensive line, University of Saskatchewan.
Natai Rogers, offensive tackle, summa cum laude from Headbutt University.
And here's how the Riders will line up defensively.
Pete Robinson, DN, Longview, Texas.
Gary Marino, defensive tackle, University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Anthony Lanier II, Alabama A&M University, defensive end.
A.C. Leonard, defensive end, Tennessee State University.
Larry Champ Dean, linebacker, the Valdosta State University.
Darnell Sankey, linebacker, Swag State.
Derek Moncrief, Sam, linebacker, Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College.
Nick Marshall, DB, Auburn University.
Roland Milligan, defensive back, University of Toledo.
Amari Henderson, defensive back, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Jeremy Clark, University of Michigan.
Hi, my name is Mike Edom, jack of all trades, University of Calgary.
Back in the broadcast booth with Luke Motors, the Montreal Alouettes in their road lights are being introduced. Getting ready to bring them out, Luke. Amari Henderson in the secondary. How do you think that shakes down today?
Big opportunity for him, obviously, but got some good skills. I don't mind his game. And again, you want to talk confidence in coaching staff with their players. To release a guy like Damon Webb this week and let Amari Henderson take this role says something about the kid.
What can the veteran guys do to help him?
Communicate. That's all it's about. Communicate, yeah. communicate, right? And who better to have out there than Mike Edom and especially Jeremy Clark?
All right, the best tradition, maybe in sports anywhere. The fans are on their feet. Let's bring out those Rough Riders. The flag unfurled between the five-yard line. The green and white race out, ready to defend their home turf. We'll be back with the opening kickoff. This segment of the pregame show brought to you by the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, and your SAS Party Caucus. First quarter action on deck here on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.